This past Sunday, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 21, a very interesting season of David's life. He is officially on the run. He has fled the palace courts of King Saul. He is a fugitive in the land. He makes his way initially to Nob, has an interaction with a group of priests. There he commandeers the sword of Goliath. And of all the places that David runs to, that he flees, is to Gath. Gath was one of the five capital cities of the Philistine Empire. Gath, most notably, was the hometown of Goliath, whom David had slain. An odd place for David to flee to. David is thinking this is likely to be the last place that Saul would expect him to run to, thinking maybe he can get to the town and lay low, kind of float under the radar. But it doesn't take too much time, according to the last several verses of 1 Samuel 21, for David's identity to be found out. Whether he was appealing to Achish directly, David is brought, he's captured, he's brought before the king. There's a conversation of what to do. Do they give David asylum? Do they execute him? David's in a tight spot. He's in jail. And in the midst of this, again, David being here by his own choices, fleeing the land on the run. Why? Well, because of poor choices. He's acting in fear, not faith. But David pretends like he's a madman. He starts foaming at the mouth. He starts clawing at the walls. And because there was superstition that people that were mentally insane, that the causation was demon possession, and thinking, well, you don't want to do anything to harm the vessel that this demon's occupying, unless that demon then wants to come after you. Achish, the king of the Philistines, like wants nothing to do with David. And David ends up escaping. Now, there are two psalms that are directly related to this experience. The first psalm we're going to look at is Psalms 56. And this is while David is uncertain of his future, doesn't know how this is going to play out. He is probably in a cell. He's worried for his life. The psalm begins, "Be merciful to me, O God." And it should be noted that David is not appealing to God's grace, and grace is when God gives us the things that we don't deserve, his unmerited favor. He's not asking for judgment, which is when God gives us what we deserve, but he's appealing to mercy, which in appealing to mercy is an acknowledgement that he's here because of his own fault. And that if God indeed gave him what he deserved, that this would play out very poorly for him. He's acknowledging mercy. He's acknowledging his own mistakes. There's a measure of contrition and repentance in the appeal for mercy. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid," and no doubt, David was afraid. He was fearful for what would happen. But he says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you." David is now checking his fear to his faith, to reality. He's making a decision. Transcending his emotions, "I will" is a decision that comes from within. It is, I am making this choice. I will to put my trust in you and God. I will praise his word. "In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." And no doubt they were. David was single-handedly responsible, not just for the death of Goliath, but the rout of the Philistine armies. David, a few chapters ago, when Saul is exchanging a dowry for David to marry his daughter, Michal, tells him that he needs to go and retrieve 100 foreskins from the Philistines. David comes back with 200. David had been a nemesis to the Philistines. He was hated, despised. And so here he is, and no doubt, "They twist my words, their thoughts are evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the people, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" David is so afraid, he's so concerned that he's in tears. And he's like, "Lord, take my tears, remember them, put them in a bottle. Are they not in your book? What an interesting idea that God records our tears. Not only does he record them, that means that he's aware of them. He takes note of them. David's in a tough spot. He's appealing to mercy. He's fearful for his life. He's checking his will against his emotions. He says, when I cry out to you, verse 9, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. Again, he's reminding himself of truths. And God, I will praise his word. And the Lord, I will praise his word. This is a refrain that gets repeated. Again, this is a song that was sang, maybe a chorus or a pre-chorus. Verse 11, and God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, man could kill him. But David realizes an eternal destiny, an eternal purpose, that death is not the end of anything at all. And if God could lead him there against Goliath, then he was more than able to lead him out of the hands of Achish and the Philistines that were against him. Verse 12, he says, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praise to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now this first psalm, Psalms 56, again the heading tells us that this was set to a tune known as the Silent Dove in Distant Lands, and that this is, again, noted by the translators, written by David while he was captured there in Gath. Interesting that David is in a cell. I doubt he's got any type of an instrument of praise with him, but he's writing this in his mind and his soul on whatever parchment he might find. And then there's another psalm related to the same period. It's Psalms 34. This psalm is a little lengthy, so we'll work through it fairly quickly. But this psalm, again, related to David's time there in Gath, but more than likely probably on the tail end after his release. We read verse 1, David writing, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Like, again, David had pretended to be a crazy person, insane, drool, spittle coming down his mouth, coming into his beard, clawing at the doors. Achish, the king, reaching the conclusion that if this is David, I want nothing to do with him. This is not the man that I knew. This man's insane. Let him go. Get rid of him. But David's attributing his escape to the providence of the Lord, that God was working on his behalf, that God did grant mercy towards him. David says, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Like, when did he seek the Lord? Well, that was Psalms 56. He heard me and delivered me from my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, or happy. Now, what's interesting is David, it was in his predicament. Why? Well, because of fear, not faith. It was a lack of trust that led him to try to seek refuge in Philistine territories, yet alone the city of Gath. And yet David has learned from his predicament. And as he escapes, he recognizes that God was merciful to him, that God withheld judgment, that God withheld what he deserved, that God intervened, that God heard him. And that in the process of this, he invites all to taste and see, to experience. Hey, God is good, and happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Note that that's a promise. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Another passage would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else gets added to it. If you want to know God's will for your life, or the key to life, to living life, it's very simple. Like, what is God's will for you? Well, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, the right things. And if you do that, guess what? Everything else gets taken care of. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He says, come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut them off from the remembrance of the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry out. And again, this is David. Though maybe from a human perspective, what he was doing wrong, he knew that in the eyes of God, he was righteous. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. And what does God do? He doesn't just hear, he delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Another passage would say that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Again, the Lord is near to those with a broken heart, with a humility, a contrition. Verse 19, he begins to close up this psalm. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. David acknowledges that even if you're righteous, there are afflictions. It's part of living in the world. But the Lord delivers him, the righteous, out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Some see that as being a messianic promise fulfilled in John 19, where we're told that Jesus, not any of his bones were broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. What a powerful psalm. As David is on his way out of Gath, as he's making his way down to the caves of Adullam, he's recognizing, yes, he had made quite a few mistakes that got him into this quandary, this predicament. But again, he comes back to the Lord. Like David, and this is an amazing thing about David. David made all kinds of mistakes. A plethora of mistakes, serious mistakes, mistakes that would carry with them consequences, repercussions. And yet David, unlike Saul, who simply made excuses, would never own things, would never repent, David was willing to own the error of his ways. He was willing to accept blame. He was willing to take upon himself fault. David exemplified this contrite spirit. And thus, you know, we're told that David was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean that David acted like God, but it means that David was in a constant pursuit of the Lord. Yes, that would include many trips and stumbles and valleys along the journey, but there was a journey that he was pursuing the person of God. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to find yourself in Gath. And yet it's even in those moments where we're acting insane and we're not ourselves, that we can come back to those moments of like, okay, Lord, I'm here. Please be merciful. I'm seeking after you. Deliver me. I know you'll take care of me. Give me a path of escape. And then when God does, this would be a great psalm to go to, Psalms 34, a psalm of declaration of God's goodness, the happiness of those who trust in the Lord. If you'd enjoyed this psalm, all of the Psalms of Histories can be found on our website, calvary316.tv/harmony of the histories. I would encourage you to listen first to the Bible study that psalm's connected to. Gives you more context. Our examination of the Psalms is not to do a full exposition, but just to try to give us some more insight into what's happening in David's heart through these stories that we're looking at. God bless.